Good evening, everyone. Here we are. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Commission on Reapportionment, March 9th, 2022 at 6 p.m. And I'll call this meeting to order. Juan Tantillo, would you mind, for the sake of our guests, introducing the commissioners, and the commissioners will respond with present and a wave.
All right, we have Regis Obogeski.
Here, thank you. Present.
Sarah DeStefano.
Here. Hi, everyone.
Andy Monk.
Here.
Donna Lutz.
Here.
Kenneth Panza.
Here.
Travis Rask.
Here.
And Kathleen Waite.
Present.
Okay, we have a full component here tonight, so that's great. And also, Kwan, would you, if you'd also introduce the county personnel that have been so great with us, we'd appreciate that for the sake of our guests, and they can wave and say hello.
Certainly, from the Department of Planning, we have Robert Leibovich, and from the Attorney's Office, we have Kristen. Is it Gumer? And from the Planning Department, we have Dennis Doyle also. And right now we have Supervisor Mike Baden with us from the Town of Rochester.
Okay, great. Thank you, Fawn. All the commissioners have been emailed the agenda and whatever documents, such as the notes, the minutes from the last meeting, as well as the transcript. And so I would like to entertain a motion to accept the February 9th, 2022 minutes as prepared. Somebody, please. Donna, yes. Second, please. Kathy? Okay. Right. Yep. All right. Thank you very much. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand and say yes. Yes.
Aye.
Yeah. Any thank you. Any opposed, please say no.
And technically we're supposed to see you, Travis, when you vote. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But we can see him later.
See him later? Okay.
He'll be on it.
Okay. Any abstentions? Okay, none. Thank you very much. The minutes for February 9th, 2022 are approved. Thank you. This portion of the meeting is devoted to the agenda itself, where anybody can make comments on the agenda or ask questions. And so, given the agenda as published and sent, do any of the commissioners have any questions or something that they would like to add to the agenda? No, I would like to just make 2 points on the agenda. Our county attorney, Kristen Gumer, is going to be speaking to us and giving us some legal advice. And there is one point on there that has to do with FOIL, the Freedom of Information Law, as it pertains to redacting names of those who submitted maps before or on the February 28th deadline. And the second part that's missing is a comment and some information on the open meetings laws. It pertains to commissioners getting together for different things, such as 3 people getting together for information gathering. That's just an example. And okay, that's why I want to add those 2 points. Does anybody else want to add anything or any questions?
If I could, Regis, I don't know if Kristen is prepared to speak about this, and barely so, it probably wasn't brought up. But if you're able to speak, Kristen, on, in addition to the open meetings rules about meeting in small groups, if you could speak to some guidance on how we can use email, how we should be using email to converse with each other between meetings, the bounds of that, how much of the discussion should be held off until a meeting like this, how much discussion we can have about topics in between them by email. I would appreciate it if you're so knowledgeable about it. If not, I understand I'm just bringing this up at the literal 11th hour. So thank you.
That's a good question. Thank you. The second point I wanted to bring up was some old business, and Fawn is going to give us an update on our potential venues for public hearings. And so we have general dates in that week of May 16, 17, 18. But we don't have solid places just yet. And so we'll hear from Swan on that when we get to it. Does anyone else have any questions on the agenda? Anybody from the county or any of our guests? Just signify by unmuting yourself. No? Okay. All right. So new business. Kristen Gamier, who is the first assistant county attorney for the county of Ulster. And we've asked her to speak on those two issues that we just enumerated, had to do with FOIL and open meetings. And so we look forward to hearing from her on that. We're going to vote a little bit later after receiving some of this advice about how we're going to proceed. So it's very valuable to hear from Kristen on this. And you may wonder why are we even asking Kristen to give us legal advice on this. We've asked Rob Leibowitz if he would be good enough to retrieve the maps that have been submitted by February 28th and to retrieve those and off of Caliper's Maptitude and number each sequentially and redact the names for the time being to give the commissioners a sense of objectivity looking at numbers rather than names. This is something we talked about. We'll vote on that a little bit later. Another activity at play was the commissioners preparing for their obligations by meeting in smaller groups, let's say two or three. There were three of us that met with Rob regarding information gathering. There were activities such as the creation of the of our guidance document, where there were three commissioners that drafted for the full commission a start in helping us to understand and frame for the public a document that was easily understandable and yet correct and based on the county charter. And, you know, whether something like that is considered a subcommittee. We also had a subcommittee early on, even before there was a chairperson for our commission regarding communication. We set that up. So these things are they ad hoc? Are they subcommittees? Are they considered standing committees? And how does that all hold together under the open meetings law? So all of that said, Kristen, please proceed with your presentation. Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't call it a presentation so much as just I'm going to report on the couple of things that I know were asked specifically. And then any questions I'll take. We could start with the FOIL issue. And Mr. Panza did state in his last email that I received that he understands and agrees that the commission can, as a group, decide to look at maps without names. So I think that's a non-issue. Mr. Panza can let me know if that's incorrect.
That's the correct interpretation.
Okay. The question of whether maps, when FOIL'd and requested the full information, including names, which as I did speak to Mr. Leibowitz, and he informed me that it's a username and email address that's given, not necessarily an actual name, although
actually it's not even an email, just a username.
Okay, there you go. But that if the maps are foiled with all the information requested, then those usernames would be provided in the FOIL request for sure.
Could you repeat that, please? I'm having a little trouble hearing because the my computer's a bit slower. Could you repeat those last statements about the FOIL?
Sure. If the maps and that were submitted by February 28th, as requested by the committee or commission, are foiled and provided by the planning department, they will be provided along with the username. The username will be provided with the maps in response to a FOIL request.
Thank you.
Sure. Regarding gatherings of committee members, the open governance law states that if you create as a commission a subcommittee, a committee or a subcommittee, even if that subcommittee or committee is simply two people of this public, made up of two members of this public body, that committee or subcommittee is then its own public body and is subject to open government laws. So if you create a subcommittee moving forward, that subcommittee should notice the public of their meeting.
Kristen, just to clarify that too, though, could we meet like more than one without a subcommittee though? Like so say we wanted to meet to discuss maps. What's the maximum amount of people that have to be present for that?
It's not so much the number of people as what you're doing. If you're information gathering or chatting over coffee, you're fine. But if it's an official subcommittee of the public body made to work toward the goal of this public body, then the meeting should be noticed.
Certainly. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. To Commissioner DiStefano or DiStefano?
DiStefano. No problem.
I quickly pulled a couple things up to verify what I believe. And as a couple people here already know, I like to really research things before I comment on it, but I can tell you, I know you cannot vote via email. Emails going back and forth between the entire commission are okay. If any consensus is garnered among the commission, it needs to be voted on and brought up at a meeting. Of course, any emails between the commission about commission business are foilable. But you can discuss things via email. You could not say a quorum could not meet via video conference. You can't all get on a Teams meeting together and chat. That's an official meeting. But emails back and forth do not constitute a meeting. And definitely there should be no voting via email.
How about receiving motions? Suggested motions via email and then accepting the motions without much debate.
That would have to be done, I guess, sort of again on a meeting like this. So you couldn't just vote on the motion without specifying on here on an official meeting what the motion was and then second it and discuss it.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
Was what I figured, but great to have it clear.
Sure.
Does anyone else have
everything? Sorry, go ahead.
For me, yes, Kristen, but I want to give an opportunity to other commissioners and others to ask questions, clarifying questions, if they have such questions. Anybody? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Kristen. I really appreciate this, and I think you've made us all aware of what some of the fine distinctions are with these matters. So we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Anytime. I'm here if anything else comes up.
Okay, and if something comes up that's a little irregular, we're going off the track. We would appreciate you correcting us, giving us some course correction. Thank you again. Okay, onto the next piece of new business. We had Rob sent us 9 maps that were submitted, and we didn't have a lot of time between last week and today to really examine them. But what I asked for was to give a cursory review of the 9 maps and perhaps come up with some observations, at least observations, not necessarily recommendations, good, bad, or indifferent, but some observations on how to proceed with maps, with these particular maps, but maps in general. So I thought that might be instructive to have a discussion, on those things. So let's start with a discussion on observations that any of you have. I certainly have, but I'll go last. But if any of the commissioners has any observations about the 9 maps, or if you, let's say you got the 3 of them, I don't know where anybody is at with this. Then just start. So whoever would like, whichever commissioner would like to start, please do it.
Well, I'll just state I sent in a to all the commissioners, my initial observations on all the maps. So, I mean, that's my entry into this conversation.
Do you want to summarize that, Ken? Do we want to summarize those things?
No, it's all on the document. I'd like to hear what the other commissioners think about the maps.
Okay, you don't want to repeat what you had, because not everyone has read them, and this is really the place to do that.
Well, then I'll do it at the end then.
Okay. All right. Then I'll go second to last. How's that? Okay. So what's your, yes. Hi,
Gabby. Hi.
Oh, and if anybody wants, I can bring up the maps on the main program too. So if anybody wants to go through. So just let me know while you do discuss.
Well, I just wanted, maybe Ken to clarify the last, I was reading the email that you sent. The Maptitude maps suck. can you give me
a little bit
more clarification, I guess?
If you look on my document, I printed out districts from 2 of the maps, and there's no identifying information on those maps. I mean, there's no names, you don't know what town it's in, you don't know roads, nothing except wiggly lines and numbers. Okay. Now, not all the maps are that way. There are some maps that have the the towns identified, and they have the census places identified, but there's a lot of the maps that have absolutely nothing on them.
Okay. And you're referring to the maps that were submitted, correct?
The ones that were sent to us, yes.
Right. Okay.
For what it's worth, those all were features that can be turned on any map. So, and any final map that you make, this is just a quick map book function. So, an actual map that you'd all make decisions on would be far more granular. So, don't worry about the quality of the PDFs with respect to the level of data, especially like CDPs. Those are easy to bring up. And I'll bring those. I think those are actually on the server now. You can see the CDPs if you, make a map now.
Well, it's a little different. You sent us these maps. We had to do a quick evaluation. But it's a little hard to figure out where these districts were without any identification. So that was my, that's the comment I made.
Thank you.
If I might jump in on it, I will say that I didn't give myself enough time once I sat down to look at them to really delve into the individual districts of each 10 map as they were designed. And it's a little hard sometimes on just using the county view out to see where the lines are. But the maps that I thought, like for instance, I have number 9 up right now. which cuts up like the center part of the county in a strange way, particularly around the reservoir, that at least on just like a first glance, I mean, obviously it conforms with numbers, but, you know, cutting it up so that like you may have to drive across the reservoir if you're in a specific part of what I think is probably West Hurley. But if you're in another part of West Hurley or in Woodstock, and I'm not exactly, I guess it's probably along the Hurley Olive town line. But I think it cuts up that area strangely. And so I guess I'm hoping to avoid those sorts of things where it doesn't seem to follow roadways all that well, where someone would naturally be driving in their area. And so that's something I can say that I'm looking for when I'm reviewing the maps. But like I said, I haven't had a chance to go through these with a fine tooth comb. And I think it is a little bit difficult in the way that it printed out that the major roadways don't necessarily always show up. So I've been doing this with kind of like a Google Maps, not as scripture or anything, but Google Maps alongside to try and figure out, you know, what lies in these areas as best as I can. But that's my initial thought to share on it.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Rob, before I give my observations, all of these maps really pass the Maptitude muster, correct?
Right. I got 9 maps, and the basic muster was, are they greater or less than 5%? And do they use all the population? Do they have, you know, no gaps? And
right.
That's the basic. So now everything is nuanced.
Right. So, I mean, they're complete maps.
Correct.
Whatever we think of them, right?
Exactly. So.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let me give you a couple of observations that I've had. First of all, I noticed that in the 9 maps, and I can't remember how many, but it seemed like most of them had respected the city of Kingston, there, with a few exceptions. I think there were at least 2 exceptions where the city was maybe paired with Esopus, and in another case with the town of Ulster. But I found that for the most part, there are three districts that can nicely manage the city of Kingston without breaking the city of Kingston, you know, into other municipalities. And I like that. I like that from the samples that were given us. The another thing that stood out on the compactness score, at least with the REOC scores, that's kind of what I was looking at. I know there are 10 different 10 different things to look at with compactness, but I just looked at the REOC, and it seems like they all hover around a 0.4 on a where 1.0 is perfect score. And 0.4 seems to be about where most of them are. So I guess below average. I don't know in terms of compactness. So it's just an observation. I noticed that 8 out of 10 maps kept the far western municipalities, Hardburg, Shandaken, Denning, and Olive, kept them together. Putting all those 4 together, you get maybe 78-17, maybe 2 over the magic number of 7,815. So I thought that was instructive. I noticed that 3 towns, the town of Ulster, town of Lloyd, and the town of Platicill, and they're like Platicill has maybe 10,000 and change. Ulster has 12,600. Lloyd about 11,000. So they're not too different from each other, but they were the ones that were in a sense picked on or chopped up, I should say, with other districts. So I noticed that in seven of the maps, 7 out of the 9 maps, those 3. Not all the time the same ones, but those 3 municipalities, town of Ulster, Lloyd, and Platicill, were kind of chopped up into 3 and 4 districts And the, I think it was map 8, map 9, had, were successful in keeping them down to 2. So instead of chopping them up in 3 or 4 different ways, it was 2. Towns really want to be kept whole as much as possible. And we said that in our guidance document, that as much as possible, if we can keep the integrity, what they call the integrity of the of municipality, all to the good. So I think in making a compromise, one of the things we may want to look at is just how much we want to, or not necessarily want to, but end up chopping up certain municipalities. And I noticed those three took an inordinate share of chopping. So I think if we pay attention to that, that might be something to learn. The other thing I learned that, again, most of the maps did not have any segmentation or chopping up of the villages, and that the villages, the three villages, Ellenville, New Paltz, and Saugerties were, you know, kept whole, not necessarily whole and entire, but kept whole within a larger sphere. And so that seemed to be desirable, to keep the villages, the three villages in the county in place. I don't know. So those were my observations, and you know, and it could have some bearing on, you know, what we decide here. So at any rate, Ken, you wanted to go last, unless there's somebody else that wants to go before Ken.
I'd like to.
Okay.
I noticed that, of Donna? Course, living down south in the southernmost end, I noticed that Marlboro kind of got chopped, and yep, part of that went into Lloyd, and kind not so much Plattekill, but definitely Lloyd, making it that much Lloyd, that much larger. But then it appeared that Lloyd, like you said, Lloyd kind of went other places. It just, I don't understand it. Also, I noticed, I don't remember which map. It looked like it was, you know, like it was really, I don't want to use the term, but it did not appear to be as it should be. For I think it was Lloyd or Plattekill. It just, I don't remember though. It just did not look like it was kept. Like, I know there are many, I know you have to take some, rob Peter to pay Paul, but one of them, I apologize, I don't remember, it was one of, I only got one to five. So, and it also appeared that, I don't know if it's true, but the same person did two of the maps, because it was exactly the same in Marlboro. And that small area down there. So, again, just because I'm down here and this is what I know, especially with 9W and the river, and it just didn't appear, it didn't feel good to me.
For my own knowledge, Donna, because you mm-hmm. definitely are an expert on that area, because mm-hmm. the towns are over the 7,000 threshold, it does make it so you kind of have to, like, it, you may have like one district that's all Marlboro, let's say hypothetically, right, but there's a portion of the town that does need to go to yes. another district, right? Do you have any like opinions, thoughts on like where in, and I know you've been mapping yourself, so thoughts on how you can break that down? Is it 9W works well as a line? Should we, does it work better to work vertically or horizontally? Like, how do you cut up that area of the map so it is more fair when you have to, like, ultimately you have to cut it up into two districts somehow?
Right. I started vertically on my mapping to see how I would do with that. And I didn't do too badly, but part of Marlboro right now, part of Marlboro also goes into Lloyd, and
It's not that big a portion, but the way some of the other maps looked, it just didn't look right. But 9W is definitely, 9W is here. Then you have the river, and you really can't do anything on the riverside because we are that close to it. So it would have to be on the west side of 9W, definitely. But I'm sorry.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I think I have also gone vertically somehow when I've tried to cut it up, but it's a hard task down in the south, yes, for sure.
And I'm having trouble myself with the Saugerties area. I'm having trouble up there, but anybody have any suggestions?
Not now, but I think we all start where we live. I mean, can't help but your eyes will focus, best, you know, where you happen to be. I mean, I look at the town of Ulster and the shape of the town, the legal shape of the town of Ulster is the very definition of salamander, you know, which is the mander part of gerrymander in a sense, you know. It's just a natural. It's a peculiar shape that is in place. I mean, it's a given. And so I can really understand why it would be segmented or chopped up, whatever the correct word is. But I look at that all the time. But I think we can probably do a better job of it, as Sarah was intimating. Yeah, once we know the geography and the demography within the geography. So if I said that right, I don't know. but I don't have any suggestions for you right now. But yes, Marlborough suffers from, like everybody else, you know, you do one thing and it has three or four different effects on other municipalities. What I was saying before is maybe we can limit that to two, you know, yes, rather than three or four. In on one map it was five. It's like holy mackerel. Did anybody else? So I guess we're ready for Ken, right?
Well, I haven't heard from Andy.
Oh, okay.
I think the most valuable thing about these maps for me was just seeing the various different options and noticing, like, okay, well, in this plan, you know, Marlborough is chopped up five different ways, so that's not how we want to do that. But in this plan, maybe that same map that chops up Marlborough was paying better attention to Saugerties and did a better job in that area of keeping, you know, there's like that one census block near Saugerties that like suddenly throws whatever district you put it in, throws it over the limit. And so I think a hybrid approach with all these different maps is going to end up being the best because certain people know certain areas better. I had a really tough time trying to figure out, you know, where to put, you get into this granular level of detail. And I think having a place to start from is going to be super helpful because then we can tweak as we go. And so I guess I don't have like specific comments about map number, you know, 1 through 9, but I was glad to see all of that information because I think each map had a thing to learn from it that was very helpful in like thinking about the larger picture of what it is that we're doing.
Thanks, Sandy. Okay. Ken?
Okay. Well, all I'm going to do is just essentially take from the document that I already sent to all of you. First of all, I consider 12 maps because the three I submitted directly to the commission are submitted maps to the commission to be considered, although they didn't go through the submission process through Mappitude. I mean, certainly all the detail that Mappitude provided was provided in my documentation, and they're probably better documented than any other maps available. So I split the maps into four categories, those which I thought were acceptable at this point, and which, you know, I would be willing to take any one of those five as our were incomplete. need an update, from Rob in order to make an evaluation of them. There were three maps, which I said we ought to just discard right off. And then there were a couple of maps I had questions of, which I would have liked to have some, input from the submitter. But the list of the maps are, which I found totally acceptable, were my three, of course, and then Plan 2 and Plan 8. Then the technically deficient maps, Leibowitz Plan 1, the details of all the districts didn't
have a question. Why is my name on all the maps? Yeah, my name is on none of those maps. Why are they called Leibowitz? They are not my maps. There are a couple solutions that are mine, but they're not all mine. That's where we got them.
I was waiting for that, Rob. So,
you're stuck with that.
I feel... just to clarify.
On Plan 1, the detailed district maps do not match the total map. The cover page and the details are incomplete, are not correct. So that has to be correct. I don't know which one you would use, the total map or the details for that evaluation. On Leibowitz Plan 4, one of the district maps is missing. So we need to get those two packages corrected. Now, the ones which are discarded was Leibowitz Plan number 5, which split the municipal boundaries in a way that Andy explained as one of the ways to do gerrymandering. I mean, you get a town like Rochester, which could justify its own complete district, and this map just split it in half. The same with Olive and the same with Woodstock. And so this was a major feature that Andy explained in his presentation, which he called municipal split, where you take a full town, which could justify its own district, and split it in half. The second one, Leibowitz Plan number 6, I mean, this is the classic gerrymandering, where you take a town like Kingston and split it into four districts so that you dilute its vote. Two of the districts are combined with parts of Ulster. One of the districts is combined with a major part of Esopus. And so this, it was classic. I was really excited to see this after Andy explained it, to see one of our maps actually do that. And it has some other strange things in it, but that's a classic gerrymandering. Number 7. Leibowitz Plan number 7, this had a lot of, we wanted compact maps. And on our website, we have a common sense definition of compactness. You don't need, 100 different numbers. If it looks like it's not compact, and if it looks strange and distorted, then that's good enough. And so this one had like 6 or 7 districts, which were really strange configurations. So those were three I would discard right away. And then finally, there's two. For some reason, people are really focused on West Hurley. They're upset about West Hurley being part of Woodstock District. And these two maps removed West Hurley from Woodstock without any real explanation of why that would be done. Now, there may be good reasons for that, but it's not really obvious from the maps. And the maps don't, the maps are supposedly stand on their own, but I don't see any real justification for that on these maps. And that, in those cases, I would like to get some further explanation from the submitter of why they did it before making an evaluation of those two. So that's where I stand. And based on tonight's comments, and if we get updates to the ones which are technically deficient, then we could probably wrap up this about, at least I could wrap up my part of the evaluation probably by the end of the week.
Okay.
Well, now we have, there's 5 here, which I would accept. If you just threw a dice and said the first number that comes up between 1 and 5, that's the one we go with, I'd be glad with, happy with that.
Okay. As long as they're all Leibowitz numbers, that's the important part.
No, they're not all legal lists. There are a couple of numbers in there.
Okay.
But there's at least a couple of legal lists.
I just wanted to jump in and say, I think it's very possible that a town like Rochester gets to stay altogether, but I do think that we shouldn't necessarily cut out plans because we think that like one specific district or one town shouldn't be cut up in a certain way. And I only say that because then, you know, Marlborough could say, how come we're cut up in two? It may work out that, you know, it's difficult in that like left corner to get like a district out of the town of Wawarsing, and then you have the town of Shungun. So I would just say that there may be the possibility that we do cut part of Rochester specifically. And I don't think that should preclude it. Though I don't disagree with Ken that, you know, like he said,
the town of Rochester
may very well. Yeah, it may very well be its own district, and I don't have any issues with that. But just as a side note of what I've been trying to tinker with, I would hope that that doesn't preclude us.
Yeah, well, I would, you know, I agree with Sarah that, and especially one case like Rochester, we did need a little bit of Rochester to balance out Gardner. But the cases I'm citing here, they cut Rochester in half, they cut Olive in half, they cut Woodstock in half. I mean, this is beyond just taking out taking a few census blocks to balance out. You know, this.
Yeah, I agree with you. It runs from Olive through Rochester and into Western Wawarsing. That doesn't make sense. I know what map you're talking about, and I agree with it. With that, that observation.
Yeah. Yep. I know which one you're talking about too. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's certainly.
And besides, we have to get down to one, right?
Well, we will, maybe not at this rate, but we will. thank you, everyone, for your comments. I'm going to ask for a vote on how we want to proceed, and I want to preface that with a couple of comments. In February last month, we were discussing the possibility of various forms of somewhat quasi-objective measures that could be included in a kind of a matrix, and we explored that. And I think that there really wasn't a consensus of appetite to go in that direction. And Ken, it's kind of like what you said, you know, with compactness. When you look at it, you know if it's compact. And if you look at a number of maps, you really get that. And I think that was the sort of feeling of the group, but we didn't take a vote on that. So I put that in there because, you know, even I suggested, you know, quantifying the deviations, you know, say, well, you could make everything look like it was, 1% or 2%, but then you got this awful thing that you chopped up, you know, as you were. So are you sacrificing common sense, you know, to the math?
Not quite that straightforward. We did vote on how we're going to evaluate these maps when we decided on the procedures for the public input, and we put
exactly
that up on the website.
That was that. Yeah. And you got to stop reading my mind, Ken, because that's exactly what I was going to say next. We already have a rubric. You know, and it's called the guidance document. And, you know, and I think we did spend a lot of time on it. We spent all of December's meeting on it. And it's really a good piece of work, and it's based on the charter. So it's really good. You know, we've learned a few things, this past week and looking at the maps. And I said, just, you know, not necessarily dive into it, but, at least get a cursory evaluation or review of these maps, and just say what you think. And it does become complicated the more you dig into it. The next is Kristen Greer, our attorney, gave us valuable information about FOIL and open meeting law. And given all of this, I'd like to entertain a motion on how we would proceed with a certain amount of specificity with regard to accessing the maps, how they'll be identified, how we'll proceed with, evaluating maps, and we've kind of gone over that, creating new ones as a result of having received these and having reviewed these, and redrafting maybe some existing ones. So there's a lot to be done. So I want to ask Sarah if you would like to take a crack at doing a motion on that.
Sure. I mean, I guess just to share my thoughts on it, not that I haven't already, but we've already received the maps numbered, and I think that was out of some consensus, and I know that there was email discussion that we should be receiving the names. I pretty strongly feel that it's good to have them numbered. It removes some bias either way on the identity of the submitter. My only caveat there is that I felt like it would be great to have an identifier that the person is an elected official in Ulster County or an elected official in New York State. I don't know how people feel about that. I think that that's particularly necessary in this time when we have likely numerous lawsuits coming on the other levels of government above us due to claims of gerrymandering, to show that, you know, we were at least aware that elected officials were submitting. That doesn't mean that those plans can't be reviewed, but it gives us some like additional notice that we should pay more attention to where the lines are drawn. And so it's just like if it's just like map 2 asterisk, I think that would be helpful. And so I guess I would be putting forth, you know, a motion to have, I think really the only thing we have left would be adding that identifier. To provide an identifier to the maps that are, let's say an elected official in New York State, but open to it just being Ulster County, I suppose. Just so that we're aware, it doesn't preclude the map. It just gives us more information as we're reviewing it in light of the discussions happening on the state assembly, state senate, and the congressional maps as well.
How about like an EO, you know, map 3 EO? Elected official.
Sure, EO, whatever the identifier is.
Whatever.
I'm happy to have it be whatever it is, but I just think it would be useful information for us to have. Doesn't preclude them.
No, and I appreciate that discussion. Could you put that in a form of a motion?
I would move to add a identifier onto our already numbered maps to identify a elected official in New York State.
All right. Would anybody like to second Sarah's motion? Okay, Donna, you raise your hand. Donna, okay. And is there any discussion on this motion?
I think Dennis has his hand up.
I'm sorry, somebody has your hand up?
Yeah, Dennis.
Okay. I know I'm not a member of the committee. My apologies. I just want to caution everyone that, as Rob has indicated, that the maps that come into us come in with email addresses, and you can make those up. So while we may be able to track them back and find out who submitted the map, we can't be exactly sure that we're doing that. If somebody uses another email address or something of that nature, that's the only thing that we have. We don't have a name. We have an email address.
It's just a username. It could be nonsense as a username.
Yeah, it's a username. I'm sorry. We don't even have an email address. It's just a username. So
it could be a nonsense.
Just be aware of that fact. I mean, we may be able to identify them by the username, but it's not it's not foolproof.
I think it would still be helpful because I'm not looking to throw these maps out in reviewing them. I fully intend to review them, and they may very well be the most perfect map that we absolutely desire. There's no gerrymandering. This person knows just exactly where to create the best nonpartisan lines based on the best census blocks that there are. I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything nefarious. I just think that it would be helpful to know, you know, to the extent that it exists, that someone is elected, particularly given the climate we have right now in New York State. With political districts. But I get your point, Dennis. I just think it would be helpful.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion, as elucidated by Sarah, please raise your hand and say yes.
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 Okay. Those opposed, say no. Any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
Okay.
Excuse me. Why are you abstaining?
Why am I abstaining? Well, first of all, it's a process and procedure question, so it's not really something I feel I need to take a position on. Secondly, I think having the names would be useful, and you know, when these maps were submitted, additional information was solicited from the submitters, so maybe there could be, but I understand other people might feel their judgment would be clouded or somehow subverted by knowing the names or the positions, and you know, I have to respect those people's positions. And I'm, you know, I don't really have a strong feeling about whether that they're identified as elected officials or party members or something like that. So I just don't feel like I need to take a position on this.
I hate to be a stickler, but our rules, the Roberts rules, require that you can only abstain for certain reasons. And it's like if you have some financial benefit, if you have some connection, maybe Kristen, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you can abstain for those reasons. You can vote no for those reasons.
I can abstain based on the rules on the municipal law. I'm not required to follow Roberts rules of order.
That one,
You can't force me to vote.
Well, that's the point. I think, well, that's why we have it in the rules, because we do want to force people to vote, and unless they shouldn't. But I will bow. So,
record my position as abstain.
Okay. What we'll do then. Because there's not an issue as to what the vote would be, no, it passes, right? So we can come back to this if a vote is necessary, or if in my research I find that we are going to request a vote and I have a legal reason why, then we'll do that at the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Fawn, for those comments. And the motion passes. Thank you very much, everyone. The next item on new business, that it really pertains to everything we're talking about, is that there's still a lot of work to do between now and the time that we have to designate a map as a final draft choice. So let me start at the end, because we really need to think about some dates here and how much work we need to do and how often we should get together, that is to say, meet. So our first public hearing is going to be, well, our hearings are going to be the week of May 16th. So let's just say May 16th is the first meeting, first public hearing. I remember, and you can correct me on this one, but I think I read in the notes that you said April 28th, which I think is a Sunday, would be the last date to submit. So is that correct?
Right. No, that hang okay. on. Can't be a Sunday, but let me just get to a calendar. Sorry, I didn't have a calendar pulled up.
Yeah. That'd be April 26th then?
April 28th is a Thursday. I would need to submit it, the legal notice, on the 29th.
Okay, so April 28th is a Thursday.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the final date that we have this done, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Backing up today, we need to plan dates and getting together to either do mapping or review mapping, but it's all mapping from this point forward. Unless somebody else has any other thoughts on us, it seems to me like our time now, between now and April 27th, that's the day before April 28th, we really need to work on mapping. So does somebody have any suggestions on how we can approach this? I will make a suggestion if nobody else does, but I'd like to hear if If anyone else has thought about calendarizing this whole thing, we have to figure out when we're going to do what.
I don't have any calendar thoughts, but I have the following thought. So you have 9 maps that are submitted to you.
We have 12 maps submitted.
Okay, sorry. You have 12 maps submitted to you. I would take them for educational purposes. I would, as a commission, start a map and take ownership of a map that you all create on your own and really create your own map and create several iterations of your maps. If you have 12 maps, there are many more iterations that can be created. So I would take the opportunity to really create a map on your own and take ownership of a map that is the product of the commission. And it may take quite a few sessions in order to do that. That's just my comment.
You're saying work as a group to create a map?
Is that what you're saying? Or map or maps.
Maps. Okay, map or maps. Right. And
suggesting that we not... I don't understand Rob's suggestion. Can you explain that a bit more? I mean, we have 12 maps. Why are we creating another one?
Because nobody on the committee... I've only received so many of these are from the commission. The commission actually hasn't sat down and created a map. As a deliberative process, sitting in front of a screen, and this is how we did it last time, was they all agreed to craft the map, and they felt comfortable in this area. They felt comfortable in this area, and they came up with a map that met their needs. So, I mean, you can see one of these maps and say, okay, this meets all my needs, that's fine, but, you know, it's not the original product of the commission. That's all.
So if I hear what Ken's saying,
I know.
In front of us.
Yeah, now let me, if I can, the thing to think about, I think, from the commission standpoint, and my apologies for interrupting.
The commission.
The thing to think about is, what does your agenda look like for the public meeting? Are you going to the public meeting and saying, we have submitted from the various sources, we have 12 maps that are submitted, here they are. Are you going with no maps and saying, here's our charge. Here's what we want to discuss with you tonight. Are you going to the public, as Rob suggested, and with saying, the commission is looking at a number of maps, and for example, taking Ken's analysis, and here are the things that we like about some of the maps. Here's the things that we don't like about some of the maps. What are your comments? That to me is that decision on the agenda, I think, is the most important decision to make. And you could do it in two phases. You could do, we just want to listen to what the public has to say in a public meeting. And then you may want to go back out to public hearings and say, now that we have a map, what do you think about these alternatives? So there's a whole host of different ways to do this. But I think what Rob is trying to say is eventually you're going to have to sit down and work out what you want to do.
Yeah, if I could jump in, I think we're sort of complicating what we received in the 9 maps, excluding Ken's, in that we were asking the public for their input on what they thought about things. And we never intended for the maps that we received to be the map, like exactly the map. We may very well have found a map that we think is the most glorious, heaven-sent map that we've ever seen, but we didn't reach out to the public to ask. We didn't reach out to the public saying, we will adopt one of the 9 maps that you submit. And so to that extent, I don't think that we're limited in just the 9 maps. Of course, Ken's maps are also on the table. But I think that along with whatever judgment, and it sounds like all of us are sort of in the process of mapping and we may be close to finishing. I know it's taken me much longer than I expected. And so I have a map in the process too, and hopefully can get that in some time. Sounds like Donna's in the same position and perhaps Kathy and Regis too. Kathy's raising her hand also. So I do think it seems like we're going to come to the table whenever our next meeting is, having maybe downloaded these maps and reviewed them more clearly, like focused on our own maps a little bit more and have more commentary as a group to say things. I don't think we ever went through the process with the February 28th deadline thinking that that was it. That was what the map we were going to receive. So anyway, I think we're complicating things a little bit. I think we always figured there would be some time when we would put our heads together. It was just going to be after we got some public commentary. And that's where we are now. So.
Sarah, that's exactly where we are. And I don't know. I mean, I submitted. I'm one of the nine. My map is among the nine. I would suggest that any commissioner that's on the verge of finishing a map, you know, get it done and submit it through Maptitude. And Ken, I know you don't have strong affection for Maptitude, but I would suggest trying to submit the map through Map, just like everybody else. Submit your map through Maptitude, and that way we're getting it from one source. And when we're really going to bore down on a lot of details, you know, we're going to need Maptitude to open up to us, you know, like on Rob's you know, big screen or something like that, where we could actually see these things, you know, and view the reservoir and 9W and, you know, whatever else is going on. So we have natural geography, we have man-made geographic boundaries, and we have all these things to consider. So I'm thinking that we have until April 27th, and this is only a suggestion. So I am popcorning here a little bit. I mean, I thought about it this afternoon, that the next couple of meetings we separate by 2 weeks. So March 23rd, I'm thinking March 23rd, April 6th, April 20th, and then a week later, April 27th. And I don't know that, you know, that's agreeable to you with your calendars, but I would like to see by March 23rd, maybe a few more maps submitted through Maptitude, and to see where we're at. But yes, we are going to have to come down to, I'll tell you, as difficult as it was to get through the nine maps, and, you know, and I agree with some of Ken's comments on the maps, I learned a lot. And after a while, I got to look at shapes, and I could go through shapes, and I know this is from Shongam, and I recognize that little curly Q in Gardner. You know, you get to recognize things pretty well. So what do you think about that, having that many meetings, because this is really the lion's share of our work. So I'm just suggesting this.
My internet, sound. That's probably also my computer.
Say that again.
I'm having a little trouble with my internet and the sound and hearing everything you're saying.
Oh, hearing everything. Okay. Well, let me just repeat this. What I'm suggesting is a series of.
I think that the commissioners need to spend a little more time with the.
And your internet's really choppy, so we really can't make heads or tails.
We're breaking up, and I'm sorry that you can't hear us quite well either. But I'm suggesting four dates: March 23rd, April 6th, April 20th, and April 27th. And April 27th really is the day that's the final day where we have to have a suggestion, a final draft that we support by vote. That this is what we're going to do. And then when we get to the public hearing and depending on what people say, we could change.
Ulster County Planning has a conflict with the 6th. That is the night of the Ulster County Planning Board meeting. So Dennis and I are not available.
Which date is that?
The 6th.
April 13th is when your regular committee meeting would be scheduled.
Right. So you mean you want to do the 7th instead?
All right. So how about April 13th? Is March 23rd okay with everyone?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody Okay, I don't hear any objections. And then we'll move to April 13th, which would be our regular date.
Yes, sir.
And then, then April 20th and 27th. Those are Wednesdays. Again, if we move along quickly or we don't, we're going to have to adjust these dates anyway, because by the 27th, we got to be done. 27th of April, that is. You may think that's a long time, but it's not.
I think your suggestion makes sense, Regis. Maybe we okay. should put on it to agree to it formally. Okay. So long as Fawn may have been raising her hand to say that there's a conflict.
I think we can make all of those dates work. I was just going to say one thing to piggyback on what Rob said. Maybe Mike will weigh in about it. Something magical happened 10 years ago when the legislators all sat down and started to make a map as a group. Something really magical happened at that moment. And I had been through redistricting three times at that point in three different, 10 years apart. But two of them were 10 years apart anyway, where I just want to share that with you. But when we would get to someplace like Marlboro, they would, I remember up in Saugerties, they had a big discussion about where Glasgow was going to be put in the map, where that was going to be lumped. I remember discussions in Shangham with people from that area. It was only the commissioners, and there was a lot of public sitting in the room, but it was only the commissioners weighing in. And something really magical happened as they started to put together and the map started to just come, it just grew. And so I don't know if you want to have these meetings like on March 23rd or April 13th in person in Rob's office where you can have the big map and maybe, do something like that. But that's also something to think about if and when you want to start doing something in person.
What would it be, Rob, what would it be like to work together? Let's say March 23rd would be, getting our own stuff done and submitted, and then using the 13th and the 20th for sit downs, whether that's, through Zoom or in person. But what would it be like to have that via Zoom or in person? Are you still there, Rob?
You're muted.
Sorry. I don't think you'd be able to meet via Zoom much longer. I think the order is going to expire before then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be in person no matter what. So as Fawn was saying, the commission, we once met on a Saturday. And we started at, I would say, 9 a.m. We went 7 hours. We made a map. And it was kind of magical.
I'm open to a Saturday, but I'm just saying the first meeting, the 23rd, could we maybe reserve just for our own submissions? If the submissions could happen before the 23rd, so we'd have time to review it, and that'd be okay. And then maybe the 13th and the 20th could be it. Or we could pick a Saturday. We'll see how we feel on the 23rd.
I imagine if we pick a Saturday, I'm assuming that's okay. We'd notice it and the public will be entitled to come. Is that how that works? Okay.
Yeah.
Last time we had it in the legislative chamber, we had it up on a big screen and computer connected to a projector and everybody sat around a U table and they said, Rob, click this, Rob, click that, Rob, click that. That's
okay.
I want to echo Fawn's comments in that you ended up in a situation where you had multiple personalities, multiple objectives coming together and sitting down and saying, this works for us, put that aside, this works, put that aside. And they focused on literally making sure that the tough parts could get done, with a lot of people having greater understanding in terms of Ken's comments with respect to West Hurley, greater understanding of what it meant to move certain lines. And it wasn't a discussion after the lines were moved. It was a discussion that, well, that's why we're not moving them, et cetera, et cetera. And at the end, they had a map, I think, that most people supported, and it held up in court. And it was a very collegial, non-confrontational way to move things forward. And it wasn't choppy because you had a block of time that people were committed to. And I think they had coffee and lunch and stuff like that. It's stressful on staff, but it works well.
Let's look at, let's see. April, do you folks want to do a Saturday? You want to do that? Let's say in April, so that our first April meeting would be on a Saturday. Would you folks be able to do that?
Mm-hmm. I just have one comment reference to Saturday. In April, I go to school. So I just April 2nd, I'm just looking at my school calendar. Mm-hmm. April 2nd, April 23rd, and the rest doesn't matter. So I guess it's just those two Saturdays. I wouldn't be able to attend.
I would also be out of town on April 2nd.
How about,
April 9th, the legislature will have a conflict there. We're going to be using all of our resources, I believe, all day April 9th for...
Okay.
I'm out of town on the 23rd as well.
So maybe the 16th then?
Oh, I think you just...
My only comment on the 16th is it's Easter weekend.
Yeah, Passover is the first night of Passover.
Yeah, I think it might be okay for most people, but just as a comment.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We can find another venue if that's the issue, Fawn. I don't know whether you're available. Maybe the different issue.
Yeah, I may not be available, but if it's a Zoom meeting, we could start it and I could hand it off to someone. And if it's an in-person meeting,
yeah, I mean,
we can get you in a different room.
Yeah, well, we would. I mean, I'd actually think about using the Restorative Justice Center. We can find a venue for you if we have staff to support it, but we can find a venue for you.
So the 9th, if you want to.
I'm a little bit lost with the dates here again.
April 9th, if you want to do something, I just might not be able to, you know, I might not be there, but that you don't need me if you got Rob to do your mapping and we could, you know, we can record it.
April 9th. Would that be okay with everybody? April 9th?
It seems to be fine with me. Yes.
Okay. Don't know about Ken. I think he's frozen.
Would it be morning or afternoon?
In person.
We plan on morning. The
schedule's pretty open, so whatever you decide, I'll manage to.
It's just a personal conflict. I mean, I work with April 15th. I work Saturdays with tax season and everything like that. I can maneuver my schedule, but I can't guarantee, especially the last week of filing, I can't guarantee a whole entire Saturday, but I can maneuver if we pick times.
Well, what would work for you?
My work hours, I work from 8 to normally 2, but I can cut them short if we want. But it's just a matter of if we could decide tonight, so I can just put it on my calendar. But I do need to work at some point on that day. There's no question I won't be able to give a whole day that week.
Sure. So early afternoon would be okay? 1 o'clock?
That'd be great. Even if it was like, if you guys started at like 11 and I showed up at 1, you know, something like that, I'd be willing to sacrifice a little bit on my end.
All right. Okay. So April 11th at 11 o'clock, and then Travis will join us.
April 9th. April 9th at 11
o'clock. I'm sorry, April 9th at 11. Thank you, Vaughn. I'm glad you're keeping track of this. Thank you. Okay. All right.
Sounds good. You guys. Thank you.
Is that okay with everybody? We're okay. We're on with that.
Okay. Are we still on for March 23rd? Then I'm getting confused.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we're talking.
Okay.
But right now by March 23rd, we want all submissions from the commissioners.
Right.
And then we're going to schedule a meeting April 13th, April 9th, April 13th, April 20th, and April 27th.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Fawn. Okay.
So, Fawn, can you send out a note with those dates and requirements for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good. All right.
Is that something we have to vote on to agree to the dates, or can we just have done it by consensus?
You could do that by consensus.
Yeah. I think we're there with consensus, right?
Okay. Yes. I just want to be sensitive to the fact that sometimes we agree to things and then we get done with the meeting and there's controversy after it that we didn't vote on it.
And okay. Let's do it. And for one, the motion will be that we're going to be meeting and doing mapping on the following dates. Could you list those one more time, please, as the motion?
On March 23rd, we want all submissions from the commissioners to be submitted. And then we're going to have meetings on April 9th, starting around 11 in the morning, April 13th at 6, April 20th at 6, and April 27th at 6 p.m.
Yep. Okay. May I have a second on that motion? Let's see. Who's making? I'll make that motion. Who's seconded it?
Second.
Who will second it? Okay. Kathy, thank you. And all those in favor, please signify by raising your hand and say yes or aye. Either way.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. That passed. Very good. Thank you very much. Okay. We have one piece of old business. And Fuan, would you be good enough to provide us with an update on potential venues for the two public hearings?
I have the town of Saugerties either on the 16th or the 19th, depending when I can get another space. Right now, I'm talking to the town of Plattekill about the 16th. I'm waiting to hear back from the supervisor. I've also reached out to Bosie's and New Paltz about either of those, either the 16th, the 18th, or the 19th. But the 16th for sure. Hopefully, there was just, I think Plattekill might have gone home a little early today. I don't know. Because of the snow, I didn't get a call back. And usually they call me back pretty quickly. So, okay. But I had talked to them on Monday again about the 16th, and I was hoping to get an answer before tonight.
Okay. But,
and I will let you know those dates as soon as I have them booked.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Fawn. This leads us to our last thing, which is public comments. Do any guests participating in the meeting via Zoom or by phone have any comments on the work of the Commission on Reapportionment, either tonight or about anything else? Please unmute and speak up.
Hi, Regis. It's Mike Baden.
Hi, Mike.
I just wanted to take a second to comment on your decision about adding the EO. Hearing that there's only 12 submitted and we know that three of them belong to Ken and one belonged to you based on the comments I heard tonight, I can tell you one belongs to me. I submitted it under my personal email address, under my own name. I didn't make up an email name. I wasn't trying to hide the fact that I submitted it. But it's being that you're setting legislative districts for the county legislature, it's a little, I don't know, disheartening that I suspect I may be the only elected official that submitted one. that it's going to be, I just feel like they're adding the EO to produce based on a concern of a bias. I think you may have done the opposite and created a bias, because people may be a little cautious of, you know, should we look at this seriously? It's from an elected official. I can tell you, I submitted it as somebody who is very involved in planning. Fawn can tell you, and Dennis and Rob, I was very involved 10 years ago through this process. That's why I continue to come to these meetings every month with you guys. It's just a little troubling that I think you may have set up inadvertently a reverse bias that, even though it may not seem like you have, people may look at it differently. It's kind of like, for those who are a baseball fan, adding the asterisk to the home runs, you know. So I just felt the need to say that. I understand all the challenges you guys talked about tonight. I experienced every single one of them, both this time and 10 years ago. And this time I found some creative, different solutions to some things that I didn't come up with 10 years ago. I probably made in the neighborhood of 20 or 20 plus maps before I actually submitted one. And it's just, I don't know. I would ask that possibly you would reconsider that. I do understand the reasoning behind it, but I don't think the bias is there that you're concerned about. So thank you for hearing me out.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. And we're sorry that you know, ill feelings may emerge from this. It certainly isn't our intention, but thank you for that. Is there anyone else that has a comment of any kind for the commission? Okay. All right. Thank you. Now we're going to request a motion to adjourn from one of the commissioners, please.
So moved.
Sorry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. Second, please.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Andy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I have passed. Thank you very much. And we'll see you soon. We'll get those dates to everybody. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.